My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nearly 1 year ago, on October 7th of the year 2023, after 2 decades of imprisonment in a concentration camp, after attack after attack after attack, every other year, massacre after massacre, after attempting all kinds of efforts at resolution and peace, including non-violent tactics, non-violent movements, which were responded to with absolutely atrocious and lethal force, on October 7th, 2023, the young men of Gaza, many of them, decided to fight back, decided to attack their oppressors in Israel, those oppressors who had been oppressing them and generations before them for nearly 8 decades on record at least. They attacked military outposts and they intended to take hostages in order to negotiate the release of thousands of Palestinian hostages who were being held in Israeli detention centers and jails without any charge, without any crime. On that day, the world was shocked, but the propaganda machines began churning out their lies immediately. They were prepared. They were looking forward to another opportunity to demonize those who are oppressed and to celebrate evil and satanic forces. And in that context of propaganda and demonization of those oppressed brothers and sisters of ours in Gaza and in Palestine, Israel responded. And in their response, on the day of, they killed many Palestinian fighters, our brothers and sisters, shuhada, martyrs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Do not even say about them, they are dead. Rather, they live as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. But in addition to taking out many Palestinian fighters, the Israeli response also led to the death of hundreds of their own citizens in the process, which they seek to blame on the resistance. But the fact of the matter is, and even Israeli news outlets are starting to admit, that policies that call for the slaughter of their own population in order to avoid having to deal with the Palestinians were enacted on that day. You can look this up. It's called the Hannibal Directive. And so hundreds of Israelis were also killed on that day by the Israeli Defense Force. And then they organized a campaign of retaliation. A campaign defined not by its strategy, but by its bloodlust. And we have seen that bloodshed for months now. We have witnessed it day after day with our own eyes. 41,000, more than 41,000 are officially reported to be dead. And there are tens of thousands, if not possibly hundreds of thousands more, who are still unaccounted for in Gaza. The retaliation campaign, the Israeli Defense Force struck apartments in which people lived, in which children slept. They attacked schools. They attacked universities. They attacked hospitals. And they attacked universities and hospitals and apartments that they had already attacked once before, just days or months prior. In their slaughter, not only did they take innocent lives, women and children, young and old, men who simply wanted a better life for their family, but they also killed journalists who were reporting on the matter. They killed aid workers who were supposed to be under international protection. And we know what a joke the human rights regime and the UN has become at this point. They killed medical personnel there to bring healing and relief to those who are suffering. They even killed their own hostages. Many of them died at the hands, most of them dying at the hands again of those very same occupation forces. And of course, none of this would be possible without the United States of America, the land of those enslaved to Israel and the home of the cowards. And that is what we stand in today. The United States has given their approval. The United States, your home and mine, has given their support. The United States military has given their supplies day after day, week after week after week, watching their weapons slaughter young children and innocents. And of course, then you have the Muslim so-called leaders around the world. Most of them have chosen to just stand by, preserving their own skin and their own seats, their own thrones, caged, prisoned in their seats of power. But not all. There were the responses by Hezbollah, and the response by the Yemenis in the south, and both of them backed by Iran. And in the south, the Yemenis stopped ships that were headed towards Israel in the Red Sea, blockading and preventing ships that are headed towards Israel. And in the north, the forces of Hezbollah attacked, and the condition for the end of their attack, as well as the condition for the end of the blockade on the ships, was all the same. Stop your attack in Gaza, and we will stop our fighting as well. The entire intention was, at least publicly stated, end your attacks, we will end ours. End your bloodlust, and we will stop fighting. It seems like an excellent opportunity to create a ceasefire, create a temporary peace at least. But Israel clearly is not motivated by any semblance of peace. The bloodlust goes on. They escalated at every single turn. Every opportunity to escalate they have taken. Instead of pursuing a ceasefire, which has been on the table multiple times via multiple sources and multiple negotiators, they have attacked, for example, the Iranian embassy in they attacked the Iranian embassy in Syria. They attacked and killed Ismail Haniyeh, the leader of Hamas and the chief negotiator on their part, while he was in Tehran, in Iran, to provoke both. They attacked, they recently, as you saw in the news, they attacked people in their daily lives by planting explosives in their electronic devices and setting them off simultaneously throughout Lebanon. And they attacked recently and killed Hassan Nasrallah in what they called a precision airstrike. It was so precise. It took down an entire apartment block, not one apartment building, but an entire apartment block, killing 2,000 people, excuse me, the casualties of which are 2,700 plus are now dead. And then this week, we watched as Iran responded, massive missile strikes throughout Israel, hitting multiple air bases and other military targets. And of course, the bloodlust of the West, they mock because civilian life was not taken, as if taking civilian life was the point of responding. And of course, we as Muslims, as believers, we hold Hezbollah and we hold Iran accountable for the death and the slaughter that they caused to our brothers and sisters in Syria and in Yemen before that and in Iraq before that. We hold them accountable. But regardless of that, it does not prevent us from praying for our brothers and sisters, the innocents, not the leaders, but the innocents who live in those lands, who are not guilty of the crimes of their leaders. And now the possibility of a U.S. intervention, possibly even into Iran, looms. We know that this possibility is being discussed. We pray to God Almighty that something like that does not play out, but we know we've seen this movie before. All of this has led the community and so many of us to feel a sense of doom. We feel a sense of great sorrow. We feel an impending sense of doom and anxiety. And in fact, so many people fear and they feel despair. They think to themselves, we are about to watch so many more Muslims killed. We are about to watch the entire heartland of Islam be shaken once again. We are about to witness slaughter and bloodshed, and we feel so helpless in the face of it. My brothers and sisters, we are grieving. It is fair to grieve. In fact, it would be inhuman if you did not grieve. We grieve our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We grieve those who have died and those who are languishing in prisons, those who are languishing in the concentration camps, those who are languishing even in their own homes, afraid to leave for a moment because the thieves loom outside waiting to take it. We grieve the casualties in Lebanon, the 2,000 casualties in just one strike, a precision strike to take out the leader of Hezbollah. And we grieve the lives that have been lost and even those that we fear may be lost in Lebanon, in Iran, as well as in Palestine. And as I said, while we hold the leaders of Lebanon and Iran accountable for the death that they have caused of our brothers and sisters, it does not prevent us from praying for the innocents, and it does not prevent us from hoping that whoever is on the side of righteousness and good does prevail. We grieve for the Christians of the region. In these lands, there were many Christians that used to live there. Many Christians who were the guests and under the protection of the Muslims of that region. And it's clear to me now that we care more about those Christians than any of these Western European or American Christians ever cared for them. We grieve, brothers and sisters, for the state of the Ummah and how we have been cursed with leaders who do not care enough about their constituents, who do not care enough about the condition of the Ummah. All they care about is the preservation of their own power. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them or to replace them with those who would prioritize this deen and uphold its principles. Ameen. So we grieve. But brothers and sisters, we do not despair. We grieve, and we grieve with passion, but we do not despair. The kind of despair that I have seen in the community just in the last couple of weeks, wallahi, it's unacceptable. Wallahi, it is haram. And I'll tell you what that despair sounds like. Some will say, this is it. So many more people will die. And what's the point of all this? What's the point of responding if you know that people will die? This is despair. And some will say, see, I told you, elections and all this voting and stuff, it doesn't matter anyways. Our effort will not make a difference. This is despair. And it sounds like this as well. Well, I'm more interested in how it affects me personally. You know, my efforts here cannot really make any impact over there. So I need to just focus on what effect my life will feel, my positions and what I advocate for, how it's going to affect my private life, my private finances, my personal conveniences. Let me just focus on those things. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, that too, that's the words of despair. You hear someone telling you that your efforts don't matter, your vote doesn't matter, your organizing doesn't matter, you see in their eyes. You look in their eyes and you tell them, brother, sister, to despair of God's mercy is haram. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِي أَسْرَفُ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to those slaves of mine, even the ones who have transgressed so severely against themselves, the ones who are transgressors themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. you are not allowed to despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not despair from God's mercy. It is a command in the words of the Quran, clear as day. Brothers and sisters, if you read the Quran, if you take the lessons of Islam, how do you forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away evil not when it is a seed, not when it is rising? When does He wipe away evil? When it's at its peak, when it's reached its pinnacle, when it is at the height of tyranny and oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped away the people of Nuh who disobeyed and disbelieved and oppressed him when they reached their pinnacle of disobedience. He did so with Ad, and He did so with Thamud as well. He did so with Fir'aun, and He does so with every tyrant. They fall by God's permission only when they reach their peak. In the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it, because you and I are being tested. Our response is being tested. What is being tested? Whether or not we will despair of Allah's mercy. That is the core of what is being tested. If you despair today, then what would you have done if you were with those people back then? Would you have just given in and participated in the oppression? Would you have just hidden instead of standing up for what is right? Would you have been those who stood behind the prophets and messengers, knowing that it puts you in danger? Or would you have been those who despaired of Allah's mercy, who despaired of Allah's aid? Do not despair, brothers and sisters. It's haram. And as Allah tells us, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. None despair in hope of Allah. None can despair in the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except a nation of disbelievers. Ya Allah, we ask that You do not make us a nation of disbelievers. Ameen, Ya Rab. This is our problem, brothers and sisters. This is our issue. Our problem is that we love to see a hero or a group of heroes rise up. We love to see them victorious over an oppressor. We love to see how they come out of the abyss. But when they are in the abyss, we close our eyes. And we hope and we wait that somebody else will step up and help them. We love to celebrate the victory of Dawood over Jalut. We love to celebrate Dawood alayhi salam. But we forget the steps that brought him to the battlefield in the first place. We forget the progress that needed to be made in order for that moment of victory, in order for that miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to actually be witnessed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us these stories in the ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Baqarah in the Madani period. This is the longest surah in the Quran. And its revelation, one of the key purposes was to prepare the ummah for leadership. To prepare the ummah to take on responsibilities bigger than themselves. And so He tells us these stories, and He tells us the story of how Jalut was defeated. He says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَإِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍ لَهُمْ إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you not consider how those leaders of Bani Israel, after the time of Musa alayhi salam, and they said to their prophet, appoint for us a king. We need a king who will lead us, who will stand in front of us and prepare us for battle so that we can fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so He did. He appointed for them a king, and how did they respond? They caused that king trouble every step of the way. When their prophet appointed Talut, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name in the Quran, when Talut was appointed the king of Bani Israel at the time, in order to lead them against Jalut, they caused him trouble every single step of the way. When he is first anointed, they rejected him because of their own ego, because of their own sense of jealousy. Why him and not me? Why should we follow him? Why didn't you pick one of us? And when he started to organize the society and prepare them for battle, instead of supporting, instead of lending their wealth and their resources, they held back. They preferred their own wealth in their own hands rather than in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he marched and he had them march with him, they disobeyed him on the march. He told them, do not drink from this river. That's not part of the plan. You disobey here, you will not be able to join us. And of course they disobeyed. They had their own plans. They thought they were smarter and wiser and better. And all of their plans led them to nothing. My brothers and sisters, these are the steps to despair. To reject because of your own ego. To hold back when you know you are supposed to give. To have your own ideas and plans and think that you're the best, even if it's on your own, rather than be with the people and work together. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, He shows us how that despair comes and embarrasses them in the most important moment of all. When they finally stood in front of Jalut and his army, what did they say? La taqata lana al-yawma bi Jalut wa junudi. We have no power against Goliath and his army on this day. We have no way. What did they forget that they had? They forget that they had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They despaired of Allah and they fled from the battlefield. But not everyone fled, right? A few of them remained. And those who don't despair, how did they respond instead? Allah quotes them as well. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلٍ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many times does a small force overcome a massive force by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I have to ask you a question, brothers and sisters. How many times does a small force overcome a large force by Allah's permission? How many? Every time. Every time, if it is in Allah's plan, if it is by Allah's permission, that small force overcomes anything massive because it is by Allah's plan. And that's what it means when you don't despair, when you resist the temptation of hopelessness. And if you resist that temptation, then you might witness a miracle. Then you might be part of something greater. But those who despair, those who prefer themselves, they will only feel despair one day. Those who prefer their own egos, and their egos are too big to follow, they will only feel despair one day. Those who prefer their own wealth in their own hands, wallahi, it will lead them to despair. Those who prefer their own ideas over the collaboration with their brothers and sisters, despite the differences, they will eventually find despair. And those who flee in moments of hardship, certainly they will feel despair. Do not despair, brothers and sisters. Do not dare. Do not dare to allow despair in your heart. And remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who persevere. Brothers and sisters, speak to Allah from the heart. أَدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ومولانا نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear brothers and sisters, today of all days we remind ourselves that despairing is haram. Despairing of Allah's mercy is unacceptable. It is a crime and a transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on this day we wonder to ourselves as well, when will we see that moment where Dawood overcomes Jalut? When will we witness that miracle when a small force overcomes a large force by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we're looking at the modern day Jalut in the face, in the form of the Israeli occupation forces. This massive, vile beast continuously just seeking blood. and acting with impunity, backed by another Goliath of the US military, supplying it with weapon after weapon, without any prohibitions, without any moral qualms. What would it take? Think about that. I think we have conversations about this all the time. What would it take for this Goliath to be overcome? What would it take for this Goliath to be defeated? What would it take to bring back justice to this land and to every land? Number one, we would say we would need a political entity. We need some kind of Muslim leader or Muslim political entity that actually represents Islam, that actually represents what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran and in the Hadith. And you see different people call for it in different ways. We need something like this. Some will call it a khilafah. They'll say we need to end the infighting. We need to stop fighting with each other and arguing with each other and bickering and all the differences we have. We need to just put that to the side. They'll say we need unity. We need to unify, come together. They'll say we need better strategies. We need more insight. Better strategies will help us to overcome this Goliath. They'll say we need more knowledge. We need more learned people. We need more education. They'll say we need to develop more technologies, better technologies. All of these things, if we can at least work on these things, then perhaps we will be able to overcome the evil of Goliath. But that's actually not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. You'll be shocked to hear what Allah says instead of how Dawood overcame Jalut. As he says in the Quran, again, Surah Baqarah. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So they defeated them. The small force defeated the large force of Goliath with the permission of Allah. فَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ. And Dawood slayed Goliath. And now listen to what Allah says. وَأَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين. So they've defeated Goliath and his army. Dawood slew Goliath, and then God gave him sovereignty, he gave him wisdom, and he taught him from that which he willed. If Allah did not drive some people with another people, one after the other, back and forth, then corruption would rule over the earth. But Allah is gracious to all. Allah is gracious to all. So when did the sovereignty and the political significance come? When did the wisdom and the insight and the unity come? When did the knowledge and the technology come? After the defeat of Goliath. We keep telling ourselves we need all of these things in order to restore justice. Brothers and sisters, what Allah is telling you is you need to work to restore justice if these things are going to come. So what is the prerequisite then? Because we know from the story, the prerequisite was not that they all celebrated Talut as their king and became unified under his banner. We know that the prerequisite was not that they became very strategic and wise. The prerequisite was not that they had a larger force. The prerequisite was not that they had a better strategy. All of those things were lacking along the way. The prerequisite was, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah before, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. The prerequisite was that when they met Jalut and his army, they asked Allah, Lord, shower upon us perseverance. Make us people who just keep at it, who don't ever quit. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And make us people who stand firm on our principles, on our morals, on our ethics. Make us people who stand firm and are not wavered or tempted, left or right, firmly on what we believe. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And Ya Allah, your aid, your help, that is the actual power we need. That is the actual strength we need. None of these other things would matter otherwise. Brothers and sisters, fulfill the prerequisites. Fulfill the prerequisites of perseverance, the prerequisites of steadfastness, the prerequisites of standing firmly on what you believe and refusing to quit, and never allow yourself to despair. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to overcome any evil, any Goliath. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our shoulders, to make our feet firm in this earth, to make us stand firmly for what is right, to make us stand firmly for what is true, to make us stand firmly against all evil, against all injustice. Ya Allah, make us among those who receive your aid and your assistance every day. Make us among those who receive your aid and your assistance, and we witness it and we see it with our own eyes. Ya Allah, make us among those who you have showered upon us your patience, your perseverance, who you have filled our hearts with your faith, and you have prevented us from even an ounce of despair. Allahumma ameen.